Welcome, everyone. Hope it's a nice morning for you. This is Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kobose here. I'm so glad you joined us on this Halloween day. And it falls right on Halloween. And, you know, Halloween's a uniquely American holiday. And in our area, I noticed people put up decorations, and of course there are a lot of sort of symbols, I guess, of Halloween, pumpkins, like a jack-o'-lanterns, and or maybe black cats or witches flying around on brooms. And of course, kids are going to go trick-or-treating, and they're going to wear costumes. Not necessarily scary costumes, but scary things are sort of associated with Halloween. You know, there's a scariness. Well, that's an interesting theme when you get dressed up. And also spiders. I was at my brother's place, and his grandchild is there, and the mom, if you have little children, then of course you get into the spirit of it, the holiday, a little bit more. And so I noticed in the bathroom, they had some white cotton material on the window and black spiders scattered around in there. Like, so it looked like a spider web type of material, and all these little plastic black spiders. But they look really real. So I was thinking, you know, spiders and Halloween, they sort of go together. And by coincidence, at the end of every October in our area, it's tarantula spider season. This is the only time that we see tarantulas, when they come out. And it's, I guess it's mating season, and they come out of the burrows in the ground, and the males are looking for mates. So in certain areas of the country where the topography is right, and you have tarantula spiders. And within these areas, maybe you might have, some places might have a lot of spiders and some not. We don't have that many. We see a few. And that's something to see. Tarantulas are pretty big and scary. But because they're so common in our general area, in the foothills, the Sierra Nevada mountains here in Central California, the town of Corsico has a tarantula fest at the end of October. And they have tarantula races and all kinds of events. And, of course, it's time for merchants to come out and do their thing. And they have these tubes. I guess they're sort of like dryer vent, those plastic tubes. And they they have two tubes, and the spiders put one spider in each. And then they give them a little blast of air to get them going, and they see who wins by who comes out the other end first, things like this. So I mention this because I was talking to our guest speaker this morning, and he said he's going to talk about tarantulas. And today's guest giving us a Dharma glimpse is Mike Shinyo Lawrence. He's a recent completed our lay ministry program this past spring in May, and he lives in southern Colorado, and he's going to be moving to Texas, and so he's familiar with this area. And he said that there's a lot of tarantulas too where he's going to move, especially in Texas. He saw where, you know, sometimes a whole mess of them come out, and there was just like a whole mass of tarantulas crossing the road. Something to see. So we're interested to see what he has to say about tarantulas. So for today's Dharma Glimpse, Mike Shinyo Lawrence.
This Halloween, I was thinking about tarantulas. I was wondering how do they know that it's Halloween? This time of year in southeast Colorado and into Texas, one can see tarantulas crossing the highway. Some call this a tarantula migration. This migration can last for a day or two, or even up to a couple of weeks. What came to mind when I saw this was how in tune with nature they must be. This seems like common sense because they live in nature and they're part of nature. But I thought about how animals seem to just know when to do certain things and how we as humans are so reliant on technology that we are really not capable of being like this. Sure, we could go on retreats and camp out in nature, but this is only temporary and not to the extent of the tarantula living every moment in nature. I think we learn a lot from these scary, creepy crawlies. I read that tarantulas rarely bite humans, so maybe they shouldn't seem so scary to us. As if wearing a Halloween costume or mask, this docile creature has fangs, creepy eyes, and a hairy body, but is really harmless to us. Halloween to me is a time to think about the mask that we wear. It's time to consider if we're showing our true selves to others. It's time to reflect on our own honesty and openness. The tarantula comes around this time of year to teach us this lesson. Things aren't always as they appear. I did some research on this tarantula migration to find out that it's not even a migration at all. What we see crossing the highways are the male tarantulas in search of females. Speaking of masks and scary things, Halloween can also be a time to reflect on fear and fearlessness. In the Tanisho, Shenron tells pilgrims who have come to see him, "Each of you has come to see me, crossing the borders of more than 10 provinces at the risk of your life, solely with the intent of asking about the path to birth in the land of bliss. If you imagine in me some special knowledge of a path to birth other than the Nimbutsu or of scriptural writings that teach it, then you're greatly mistaken." Well, what this means to me is that sometimes we're willing to take risks in order to find answers to some great mystery, when in reality, we already have the answer. Maybe we're afraid to accept things as they really are. It seems that we're able to find courage to avoid seeing reality as if there must always be something more or something hidden. Why not use that same courage to face our everyday fears? This Halloween, hold your own tarantula. I'm on dogs. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike Shinyo, Lawrence-san. I was just taking some notes during his talk, and hold your own tarantula. Kind of a nice phrase there. I sort of like to follow up on this general theme, you know, especially since today's Light Dharma Sunday falls right on Halloween. It's a natural thing to talk about Halloween. And Mike mentioned quite a few, actually, teachings that could be expanded upon the Halloween theme that are associated with it. And of course, he went in terms of tarantulas and nature, and that they're not really harmful. They look scary as heck, but most spiders are like that. They just want to be left alone. So it has to do with things are not as they appear, he said, and fear and fearlessness. How do we show our true selves? Are we, you know, honest or so forth? But before going on to talk about those kind of things, I'd like to mention, in our approach and in our program, we want to emphasize American Dharma, you might call it that. The Dharma in the culture we live in. In the American culture, which means, you know, American, United States, sometimes we're being very sort of chauvinistic in a sense, where we don't think about North America or South America. We use the word American, but it's really United States of America, I guess. Usually we know what we're talking we know who we're talking to, and it's just assumed. But sometimes we should be sensitive to how we use words, so we don't mean to slight, you know, others. But American Dharma, part of this might be to always be relating and finding the teachings in what's around us, in the culture around us, in society. And we have certain national holidays. I'd like to emphasize or encourage us to find Dharma teachings associated with these holidays. That seems like a no-brainer, like a natural thing. And I don't think we really do that. And I think it will come. It's only a natural thing, but this is sort of the beginning. And to point it out and to start it off explicitly by saying, hey, for every holiday, we shouldn't just celebrate it as a secular thing. Why not piggyback on it and use the focus, the enthusiasm, all the energy that's around us to heighten it and maximize it for our spiritual growth? You know, in terms of 4th of July is, of course, the theme of freedom and how that can relate to one's spiritual journey. Thanksgiving is all about gratitude, and that's tremendously important. And especially for families with children, that's right, you know, they get all excited about whatever holiday's there. It behooves us to say, well, why don't you tie in some that the parents could give a teaching? And if they're raising their children as Buddhists, they should make it into a Dharma holiday. In order to do this, of course, the parents themselves have to find a teaching in the holiday theme. And it could be, you know, it's wide open. There's not any given, oh, this is the teaching for this holiday. No, I think it's creatively open for any individual and every year to find a new one, different one, or go deeper with the same one. And there's all kind of possibilities. Mike Chignol talked about certain ones, and each aspect that he mentioned, yeah, it could be expanded upon, and, you know, so forth. There's a lot of fertile area there. Myself, I was thinking about masks, and I've been working on that theme for Halloween. It's associated with masks, and he also, that could be taken from his Mike Chignol's talk too. But I was thinking, my own thoughts were, you know, masks, there's a lot that could be associated with that theme. And maybe every Halloween, you could focus on a particular new one, new aspect, and go deeper into it, find more associations, make it more real for oneself, more impactful. For example, let's just explore masks and what kind of teachings can be there. I think there could be, what can we learn from masks, the idea of masks? I think there, sometimes masks might be good, sometimes they might be bad, in a sense, okay, in terms of what we could learn from them. As I gave it some thought, I was thinking, well, masks, of course, the bad part of masks is we hide behind them, and we do not show our own honesty or our own true selves, as was mentioned. Not only that, but what are masks? Well, masks could be uniforms. There are a lot of uniforms in our culture. People wear uniforms for representing certain companies, or soldiers wear, you know, uniforms. The uniform makes for solidarity and unity among those who are wearing the same uniform, or they're the same sports team. But there's a downside to that, in a way, because that uniform is a form of anonymity that is a bad expression of selflessness. You hide behind this uniform, and you might do things, bad things, that you would not ordinarily do, because you're hiding behind a position or a role. And so a policeman, although it might, in a good sense, give him courage, say, I got a job, I'm a policeman here, put him on my uniform, but it also might make him mean. You know, the guard syndrome to prisoners. Well, I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy, and I'm going to punish you. And if the research has shown that if you put a person in a position of being a guard, and they put on a uniform, say, I'm a guard, you start to abuse innocent prisoners. You start to abuse your authority, because I am not responsible. A person with a white coat, he's a doctor, he says, has some authority. He says, okay, you do this, and you might show some blind obedience to authority. Or maybe some people, Gestapo or atrocities are committed in the war times, so just following orders. Where they show that even in simple things like Halloween costumes, people can't see who's behind it. And you're going to take more candy or that's left out. So take a few. You're more willing to act out. Nobody knows who you are. So it's a really bad form of trick or treat. I'm going to do a trick on you, and I could act out and do bad things and vandalism and so forth. On the other hand, masks might have a good side, where you take a certain role. Doesn't have to be a scary mask, but it could be a mask that represents something good. Like I said, even a soldier's uniform could encourage courage or respect from others, and it could straighten out a person who has no direction in life and is getting in a lot of trouble, and he goes into the military and he learns discipline. He learns to respect others and he receives respect. If people are responding to a particular, some kind of mask, it doesn't have to be a literal mask, physical mask, but it could be a position, a role. We put on our parent mask. We put on our son or daughter mask, a mother or father mask. And it enables us to find the courage and to do the right thing, to be responsible, and others will respond to us and make us become more like that. In a way, our own face is a mask. You could have all kind of facial expressions. Some people go around with a perpetual frown. Some are smiling all the time. You could have a scary face, and it is scary. I remember once Children's Dharma Talk, I put on a scary gorilla mask and you yell around real fiercely and you might scare some little kids. You have to be careful. You look in the mirror and that gorilla mask looks scary, and if you start yelling around, you really do look just scared myself. And I think one's face, facial expression, we should realize its importance in how we present ourselves to others. And take responsibility for it a little bit. I'm responsible for my face. I know that I tend to be sort of, when I think about things, get lost in thought and so forth, I'm usually not smiling. I'm kind of frowning. Edges of my mouth are turned down. And I'm not sad or mad at all. I'm just thinking about something. And someone might say, hey, what are you, how come you're not smiling? What's the matter, or something. And I realize what kind of impression you're giving off. And if you're in a certain kind of public situation, you should be aware of that. And of course, people that they train people who are deal with others, deal with the public, that a smile is important. Whether you're a flight attendant or whatever, it might seem corny. Some people might think, it's put on. They're just putting that smile on. It's part of the job. But I think a smile is nice, isn't it? when you just see somebody walking down the street, maybe they're smiling, they're thinking about something, they're in their own world. It really lifts your spirits when you see a smile. There's something about a smile that I think goes across cultures. And you have to get over the, you know, maybe it's a New Yorker syndrome or, you know, not being, it's not cool. If you're not existentially twisted and it's shallow. Don't you know that life is rough? What are you smiling about? There's all kinds of philosophical aspects to this. But I think smiling has a big effect. I wish I could smile more, or I start to realize I'm more responsible for my face. And I like to take that task on. And the older I get, the more I just taking it easy and just kind of smiling, you know. If I look like a fool, that's somebody else's problem. Shine your own light out into the world. Okay. Sure, there's a lot that's wrong and all this stuff, and that's a big thing. You hear bad things on the news, and everything's doom and gloom, and we don't have that inner peace and contentment and deeper joy. And we always see that Buddha has that. Statues have that gentle smile, that slight smile. You know? That's important. Thank you very much. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. And here's to smiling. You are so beautiful to me. And I wish everyone a most beautiful day and Halloween. Thank you.